Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you here, from God our Father, from God the Son, from God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The thoughts and meditations for our sermon message development this morning, the fifth Sunday after Holy Trinity, center on readings of the Gospel lesson for today. That's been recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because of he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is our text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, my dear Christian friends. A former pastor of mine out in Shadron, Everett Meyer, was fluent in German. He used to teach German at St. John's Lutheran College in Winfield, Kansas. And in his retirement years, he translated the valuable works of the Lutheran theologians from German into English. Pastor Meyer once taught us about the Tower of Babel and how the Lord came down to confuse their language and speech. How exasperating it would be, he said, for the carpenter when he says, Give me a board, in German, and his helper hands him a piece of bread instead. In German, bread is board. What the one man thought he had asked for was just what the other man thought he had given him. Both men are right, and yet both men are wrong. It merely depends on which language you use to interpret the speaking of bread. But give us this day our daily bread also is meant to include the necessities of life from day to day. I hope Dr. Luther's listing of these daily needs in his Meanings of the Fourth Petition is familiar to all of you. Food and clothing, house and home, fields and cattle, money and goods, a pious spouse, pious children, trustworthy servants, godly and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Being a good German, Luther was given to detailed and long lists, and he does that many times besides this one. All these things are daily bread, and half of them you can't even see or touch like a piece of bread. So much is meant by daily bread here. Like the two meanings of bread in Pastor Meyer's Tower of Babel lesson, bread has two meanings in Dr. Luke's writing for this morning. In the Blessed Lord's Prayer, there are two meanings of bread in the parable of the persistent friend waking his friend in the middle of the night. We also have a broader understanding of bread, and we have reason to compare the two. In the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, given in verse 3, it speaks of bread in the familiar sense. It is, of course, literal bread, made from flour and baked in the oven, which is a basic food group of good health and an important constituent in diets all over the world. And usually we pray through the Lord's Prayer with only a thought of oven-baked bread and perhaps the broader category of all foods in general. But while we pray the Lord's Prayer, just think of the host of different things God is blessing us with and continues to bless us with and will bless us with in the future. And it's not exactly the same list of blessings for any two of us. God sees that we are unique and different from each other, and so he also blesses us accordingly. That's why Luther adds, "and the like," to his list of items known to be precious and needed and highly esteemed by everyone. He understood that we each have our needs and that God would be meeting those needs according to his own good will. We pray the Lord's Prayer as part of the sacrament of baptism, sometimes when we have a baptism, and then we pray it on behalf of the person being baptized. Later on in the same worship service, we have every opportunity to pray the Lord's Prayer again, although many pastors will omit it once it has been prayed at the baptism, and that is too bad, really. I'd like to campaign for it, because later on it would be prayed on behalf of the entire assembly, asking for its daily bread. While there's no difference in the prayer itself, there is a different intent. In baptism, the prayer specifies the faith of the one being baptized. The other praying makes an exercise of faith for the congregation. Notice, too, it says daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The true believer doesn't pray this prayer once, asking God for daily bread, thinking that one request of God will take care of all his earthly and spiritual needs for a lifetime. That's a cop-out. This day means this day only. This prayer is prayed every day by Christians, and I don't mean somewhere a Christian prays this prayer every day. All Christians ought to pray this prayer every day. And not just in regards to the petition about daily bread, but from the Our Father to the forever and ever, Amen, all petitions and all parts of this perfect prayer ought to be a central point of our devotional life once in every 24 hours. There's a reason that Jesus' teaching of the parable about his friend asking for bread follows the Lord's Prayer so closely. It's embarrassing to admit, but I never realized, or at least I hadn't remembered, that this parable concerning bread is something of an explanation of the Lord's Prayer. It shows us how the prayer works. Did you get lost in the friend asking bread from his friend for his friend? Well, I did. Which friend is which? There are three of them there altogether. Well, if you read through it often enough and slowly enough, you'll find that we are the friend in the middle. We are the one who is the friend of the other two. We approach our one friend in the middle of the night, asking for bread for us to serve to another friend, the third one, who has come to visit us and is hungry and in need of good bread for refreshment. That's the earthly explanation of the parable. But what does it mean, though, in heavenly terms? A parable isn't a parable without its heavenly meaning. Comparing the earthly parable to its heavenly meaning point by point. One, in the parable, we ask this favor of a friend. In fact, we ask it of God the Father. And two, in the parable, we ask at midnight, a time that offers the best excuse for refusing such a request. But with God, there is no night, no inconvenient time of day, and no intention to use anything as an excuse. Thirdly, in the parable, we ask for a stranger whom the sleeper doesn't even know and to whom he has no obligations whatsoever. But with God, there are no strangers. We are all known to him. And fourthly, in the parable, we ask for a small gift, really, just a few small breads or flat cakes. That's why one man could use three of them. Our requests of God are, in fact, vastly greater gifts for soul and body. And five, in the parable, a selfish, unfriendly excuse for refusing the request is given. The man is already in bed, asleep with his family. It's still the Eastern Mediterranean custom for some folks to sleep with all their family in bed with them. And of course, he doesn't want to be disturbed. In fact, with God the Father, there is a perfect excuse for refusing our requests. We are all sinners. But with God, there is also a perfect love and kindness, and he offers us the most abounding promises instead of excuses. if his friend could and did succeed with such a friend in such a case, then we can and will most assuredly succeed with our Heavenly Father. In the parable, asking for bread, physical or spiritual, relates not so much to the daily bread petition in the Lord's Prayer, but rather to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or we might say, give us bread in the middle of the night, Lord, so we can give it to a friend. Here it is extremely important that we don't misunderstand the relationship. God does not forgive us because we forgive others. We can't make God owe us anything. God forgives us only because of what Christ did for us, namely dying on the cross to forgive us all our sins. This petition in the Lord's Prayer reminds us that if we refuse to forgive others, then we are in greater danger ourselves. We might think of it as saying, forgive us our trespasses and remind us to do the same for others. I surely don't want to be guilty here of rewriting the Lord's Prayer or rewriting the parable which follows it, but our minds should try to grasp a fuller impact of these things for as long as we live, and it can be necessary to paraphrase. Bread is not simply edibles in the Lord's Prayer, and in the parable, bread is not just to refresh a traveler. We can see it as our spiritual food in both cases. And what do we treasure in spiritual food more than the sweet forgiveness of sins? As a friend in bed with his children gave bread to the pesky friend in the middle of the night because he was so bold in shamelessly asking for it, so too God will forgive our sins for the sake of what Christ Jesus has done by dying in our place when we boldly ask him for it. The verses selected as text pointed out that even evil men, the unjustified, know how to give good things to their children, not evil or harmful things. Quite likely, then, we who are right with God by virtue of Christ and his cross for our forgiveness will surely receive not only our forgiveness of sins, but the Holy Spirit to keep and hold us steadfast in our faith, to preserve us in that forgiveness of sins, if we but boldly ask him for it. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.